One Democratic congressman says the Senate has a big fat gun to our head when it comes to health care reform. Meanwhile, Michelle Obama, the first lady, says no apology needed for the Senate majority leader, and they've all moved on. A new Quinnipiac poll talks about whether or not we'd actually be better off with McCain if he had won in 08. Some surprising news, I think, there. And in a Gallup poll, they talk about new lows on health care and the economy. That would be those who were polled by both of those groups. Interesting stuff. And coming up, we have the science guy, Robert Piccioni, to talk about whether or not can life merely be an accident, the Big Bang Theory and all that sort of stuff. It's interesting, too, because the doomsday clock is supposed to be moved by the world's top scientists. They're supposed to actually move that. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. But obviously, all the eyes of the world are on Haiti, and that's where we begin. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The bodies, sadly, are piling up as a result of that 7.0 earthquake. You see the faces and you see the frantic folks running in the streets, screaming, trying to do whatever they can to find their loved ones. Sad, sad, sad stuff, I have to say. And gut-wrenching. A lot of Americans are reaching out. A lot of Americans actually have family members in Haiti. There were school groups. There was concern about that. There were certainly missionaries who were there. So who survived the quake and who didn't survive the quake, that's some of what's being sorted out right now. In fact, as I speak here on these airwaves. So in the meantime, if you've flipped around the dial at all, you've seen during the day perhaps some of the accounts of what it looks like. Here's Bob Poff from the Salvation Army. He was talking to one of the national anchors about the horror that he's seeing in the streets of Haiti.
Well, what I'm seeing is absolute chaos and pandemonium. At our two compounds, which are located just a couple of miles from the palace and sort of at ground zero, the entire neighborhood has been devastated. I walked through the neighborhood earlier today. I saw bodies. We're treating people at a small triage unit that we have. They're pulling bodies out of the debris, still alive, miraculously, and they're bringing them to us to be for treatment. It is absolute chaos and pandemonium. Yeah, I'm absolutely convinced that. I was driving home in the midst of this terrible disaster, and I don't know how I got out of it alive, quite frankly. I watched the buildings pancake down one on top of another. It was absolutely the most horrific thing I've ever seen. And I only have four volunteers who are working at this triage unit at the moment because most people can't get here. The transportation is non-existent, and things are very difficult. Well, what has to happen immediately is we have to get food and water into this community, and not just our community, but certainly our community. There are thousands of people here, and they don't have anything to eat, and they don't have any water to drink. And somehow we have to find a way to bring the military, somebody to get water and food into the community. The Salvation Army is flying a team of experts in right now to help us with on-the-ground logistics. Once we get the materials and the resources to be able to help. Mm. I heard someone say something about tents earlier.
All right, so you can hear his concern in his voice. Said the first cargo planes, by the way, have touched down. They've got some of the food and the water and the medical supplies. Sniffer dogs also to help what is only described as one of the poorest nations on the face of the earth a day and a half after that magnitude 7.0 quake just flattened. You heard him say it was like pancake. Much of the capital of 2 million people. You had buildings big and small and shacks and shanty towns just obviously collapsing inside themselves, and hospitals and schools, even the main prison collapsed. There was concern there because when it collapsed, certainly there were prisoners who were killed, but there were others who left, who got away, because in the middle of the quake, guards, everybody else running for their life, certainly. And the capital's Roman Catholic Archbishop was actually killed when his office in the main cathedral fell. The head of the UN peacekeeping mission was missing in the ruins of that organization's headquarters. So, as I said, it's about the head count and going through the rubble and trying to figure out who survived and the others who did not make it, because that is such a big number on the Richter scale. When you talk about that, it's not a surprise that some of the numbers are shocking, half a million, maybe up to a million, which I don't think it'll get up to a million. But you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people. And it had to be a good sight, at least for those trying to reach out to the people in Port-au-Prince. It had to be, heartwarming to at least see survivors. They say a crowd of about 200, including many kids, were just huddled in this theater parking lot using sheets to rig some kind of a tent and shield themselves, because what people forget, think Haiti and the weather. Now, on top of all of this, you're talking about 90-degree-plus heat. So they have a triage center that's kind of improvised as well in a hotel parking lot, people that have broken bones and crushed ribs and all that sort of stuff underneath these kind of tent-like covers that they frankly had to make in some cases from bloody sheets. So this is a horrible scene being played out there. But in the wake of this catastrophe, to see the humanitarian efforts, I think, is a good thing. It's heartwarming. And this is when I believe people really rise up to the occasion, when they reach out to people they have no clue, have no connection to whatsoever. So right now, no official number as to the death toll, since it's impossible at this point to have any clue when you've got so many bodies and people under rubble and the streets are just torn up and you don't know what's beneath some of these buildings. You know, the great group Doctors Without Borders treated lots of people at these makeshift hospitals, and even the couple of hospitals that withstood the quake, and then those tent clinics and whatnot, and they're working round the clock to try to help as many people as possible and get them back on their feet and moving along and getting them food and water and all that sort of stuff. And then the concern, when you have an earthquake like that, of course, is what to do about keeping the peace. So the UN's 9,000 peacekeeping force folks sent patrols all over the streets. They secured the airport, number one, of course, the port, that's always a concern, and the main buildings that survived. But like I mentioned before, the good news is the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson, the USS Carl Vinson, is supposed to arrive sometime on Thursday. There are Navy ships on the way, but the first C-130 plane carrying part of that military assessment team did hit the ground on Haiti, which is great news. And, of course, supplies got to where they needed to go, to many of the people who are in desperate, desperate need of all kinds of things. All right, coming up, something completely different. We're going to talk a little science here. Doesn't that sound like fun? I was always, you know this, I talk about science a lot, actually, on the show. Global warming, the Big Bang Theory, climate change, what's it all about? You know how I feel. We're going to go to the science guy, Robert Piccioni, next on ATN.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Did you know that the dollar has lost 10% of its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Let's put this another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metal accounts, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We get to talk a little science here on America Tonight. You know, the Big Bang Theory and all that. How fun. Dr. Robert Piccioni is in our green room right now. And I don't know if he's ever been on Conan O'Brien's show, but we have the souped-up deluxe mama of all green rooms. So I'm sure they're treating him right, probably getting a latte and getting ready to put that down. Just a little quick background on Dr. Piccioni. He's the author of Can Life Merely Be an Accident? And he's got great credentials. A graduate of Caltech, his PhD was in something I would have no idea about, high energy physics from Stanford. And, of course, he was also on the research faculty of Harvard University. He also does his own internet radio show. It's called Guide to the Cosmos. And we have a good deal for you coming up around the bend that I'm going to explain here in just a few minutes. Hey, Dr. Piccioni, thanks for coming on ATN. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm feeling very lucky after just describing and talking to some people, sadly, earlier in the day, as you know, as to what happened in Haiti. Boy, that's some sad stuff, Doc, I got to tell you.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
you're right. We're very lucky.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There was something I read today that I have to get a comment on from you. And, of course, I was reading one of the British papers, and they talk about the famous doomsday clock and moving the hand of the clock for the first time in 2 years. And what the whole deal is of the doomsday clock is, in New York, it shows how close humanity is to catastrophic destruction. And I wonder your thoughts, because, you know, scientists... It was created actually by, and I didn't know this, but it was created by the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists in 47, 2 years after the U.S. dropped the first atomic bombs on Japan in World War II. And I guess it was originally set at 7 minutes to midnight. What's the scoop on this doomsday clock?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who are skeptical about the future of humanity, but I'm not one of them. I'm very optimistic about the future. I think we can have a future that's even better than it has been before.
So glad to hear you say
science
that.
Science can help us do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's some people see a problem and they want to give up, and, you know, I think there's no reason for that at all. We've faced much more severe situations in the past history of humanity, and we are the survivors. The human race has conquered all obstacles to become the dominant species on the planet, and we didn't do that by being a bunch of idiots. So So I don't see any reason to move the doomsday clock forward. I think that, you know, some people get a thrill out of that, but I don't know why.
Very well said. I agree with you, Doctor. I knew you were going to give me an answer like that. So let's talk about it. And it sounds like you're optimistic like I am. And that's what your book is talking about, and using science as well. And the question becomes, is life merely an accident? That is the time-old question. And to that, what do you say?
Well, you know, science for at least 50 years has been saying that life originated because the right molecules banged into each other the right way, and voila, there was DNA. And everybody believed that, including me, and I've said that to people numerous times. And after I wrote my first book, which was an explanation of everything in the universe, atoms, Einstein, and the universe, I started to realize that there were an awful lot of these special things that had to exist in the universe for life to come to be. And I actually sat down and did some math, and I figured out what was the probability of all those things working out. And the numbers just surprised me completely. I was shocked. And the result is that it is so incredibly improbable that life could have come to be the way science has always said, that it's basically impossible. It's really beyond the realm of possibility that life could have originated by any known chemistry or physical process just by accident.
Yeah. Wow. And this is the big tug of war that's being discussed. The Big Bang Theory, as you say, versus God creating and then on the seventh day resting and all that sort of stuff. And it's interesting when you're a scientist in grappling with all of that, right, personally.
Well, actually, I'm a great believer in the Big Bang. And I think the story of science for the creation of the universe sounds an awful lot like the story of Genesis,
mm-hmm.
the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers are different, yes, but we can find a lot of common ground between the two. I mean, the story of the Big Bang, according to science, boils down to this. In the very beginning, there was nothing. Then at one instant, everything came into existence. There was this great flash of light. Later, there were stars and planets and life. And I think that's pretty much the same story in Genesis as it is in science.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an awful lot to be similar.
Yeah. And I think by saying that, it's great to hear a scientist say this, but you're saying that science and religion can go hand in hand, can coexist, and can be compatible, I guess, right?
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, a lot of scientists, and I'm very unhappy to hear this, but a lot of scientists are very negative on religion, and mm-hmm. there are some religious people that are very negative on science. They think it's an attack on their faith and all this. But I think that there's room for us to find common ground between science and religion. There are questions that science is really good at answering. Most of those questions are things that have a number as the answer. You know, what's the distance to the sun? What's the age of the earth? Da-da-da-da. There's a number. But there are lots of other questions that are very important to people, like what's the purpose of human life? You know, where did we come from? What are the moral principles that we should abide by to be a good person?
Mm-hmm.
And science can't compute any of that, and it can't measure any of that, and it can't really make a contribution to deciding what the truth of those questions is.
Yeah.
So everyone has to find those truths in some other way, and I think it's wrong of scientists to condemn people who find those truths in faith.
Mm-hmm. Bravo, well said. DNA, it's on the cover of Time magazine this week, people trying to understand DNA and the importance of DNA and really, I guess, how complex it is. And you talk about the complexity of DNA. Why is it so difficult to wrap our brains around this? Why is it so complex?
DNA is the most complicated thing in the entire universe. Nothing else is even close. In every cell in our body, and we have 10 trillion cells in a typical human body, you have a complete set of human DNA. And there are 100 billion atoms in each set of DNA. 100 billion atoms.
Mm.
That's as many stars as there are in a galaxy.
Mm.
But the difference is, if you take a galaxy with 100 billion stars and you switch 10% of them around, you know, you move this star there and that star here, it would make no difference. I mean, the galaxy would keep spinning, you know, everything would be like normal. But you start moving atoms inside DNA and pretty soon, you know, the life would be dead.
Yeah.
So those atoms really have to be in the right place. I mean, it's the most intricate, sophisticated structure that we've ever discovered in anything in the universe.
Mm.
And to put all that together, I mean, our DNA is a four-letter alphabet, and it's 3.2 billion letters long. That's what specifies who we are and how to build us.
Yeah.
Because after all, we're self-assembling, right?
Yeah, boy, then no kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left. This is fascinating stuff. Absolutely. Doc, I'm just curious. I read off your credentials in the beginning, the various schools and the faculty, being on the Harvard faculty and whatnot. But what was it originally as a kid, I'm assuming, that drove you into the field of science?
Well, I was born in a science family. My father was a famous high-energy physicist, and I grew up talking about antimatter, and, you know, I thought everybody's dad was a physicist. And then I went to elementary school, and I discovered some dads were actually policemen and lawyers, and the kids had to tell me what a shortstop was. So I've had this in my blood my entire life, and I don't know anything else.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good story. Doc, will you come on with us again sometime in the future?
Sure will.
And we'll tell everybody they can get a copy of Can Life Be Merely an Accident? You can go to 877-COSMOS-2, or guidetothecosmos.com. And here's the cool part. You get a special 25% discount for saying that you listen, or, you know, you've heard of the doctor on America Tonight. You just have to mention my name, Kate Delaney, or America Tonight. Just great stuff. We'll talk to you in the future, as it were, Dr. Piccioni. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kate, for having me on.
You're welcome. Great stuff. The atoms. 100 billion atoms. 10 trillion cells. Think about that. Ooh, I'm feeling those cells right now. On the flip side, odds and ends.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Diseased organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Club, I love this music. Leave it up to Donovan. He picks the good stuff. And, of course, there's a message weaved in between that, obviously. Hey, everybody. Odds and ends, as I said, here on America Tonight. A couple of things getting lost in the sauce because most of the focus is on Haiti, as it should be, since you're seeing awful signs of destruction and incredible seismic damage and what that storm has left, and at this point still no hard numbers, but thousands fear dead. At one point I heard somebody saying up to 500,000, which seemed pretty extreme, but again, certainly possible. You have a lot of Americans who are reaching out and trying to send money and trying to get help to the people. Even the celebs, of course, are chipping in, the usuals, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie threw in $1 million, and then you have some other companies that are putting money out there to help the people of Haiti who are now still going through the damage and trying to find bodies, frankly, and helping those who have been injured and are looking for food and water, because it's, you know, you're talking about such a poor area, and it's just now rife with nothing but dust and people roaming around. It's eerie when you see some of the video from Port-au-Prince and the people who look almost ghost-like, frankly, just lost, trying to figure out what's next for them. So great for all the people who are reaching out and trying to do whatever they can. And a lot of people are asking what they can do to help and just pay attention to what is being asked. Most of it is that humanitarian aid, and that's a lot of what the U.S. is supplying at this point. All right, as far as other things that are happening around the world and, of course, closer to home. If we get back to the big old bag of politics, at this point, the final health bill is still in the stages of being shaped behind closed doors, no less. The whole idea of transparency and then the beating up on the administration for the lack of transparency a week ago, C-SPAN and the president of C-SPAN saying that they were promised they were going to be able to air the final moments of the discussions. And, of course, that was shut down, boom, like that. And now the discussion has pretty much been buried, so that's not happening. It's just a question of, are the votes there? And ultimately, if they are, will we be surprised by some of the things that will be part of the law? And I think the answer to that is yes, and it comes back to the same things, not to beat a dead horse, but we keep talking about it. It is the money side that's scary to me because the guesstimates are just way, way, way off the proverbial charts. All right. In the meantime, we're seeing Afghanistan. What's happening there is, sadly, they're saying more civilian deaths are soaring in that country. And so what does that mean? Is Afghanistan, the whole idea with Hamid Karzai is they're going to be able to stand on their own two feet and, beef up security with their military and with their police force. But the Taliban suicide bombings continue, and in some areas they're getting worse. So the high numbers are starting to creep up again. And when I say high numbers, about they're saying now, where they saw originally a decline in the killings of civilians, now the key is to switch those numbers around. But unfortunately, according to the United Nations, if we took just 2009, 2,400 were killed. That's a 14% jump over the year before. And nearly 70% of the civilian deaths last year were caused by, of course, the insurgents, the things that, that you know about, the IEDs, the suicide bombings, all that kind of stuff. So a decline in NATO killings of civilians has become the key goal, as you know, for winning over the people in Afghanistan, because there was so much outrage over the rising death tolls that General McChrystal last year really tightened up on the rules of the use of airstrikes and weapons if civilians were at risk. You know, it was that whole no collateral damage. The problem is, in some cases, because of the trickery in what's happening in the remote villages, it's tough for the guys, and women, I'm sure, too, who are on the ground to know what they're approaching, you know, to have that, I don't know what they call it, itchy trigger finger, but you can't react, and normally you would, and then you see the insurgents get away in some cases, and that's rattling a lot of cages and making the whole rules of engagement that much tougher for the people who are serving. But more than half the civilian deaths were a result of the suicide attacks and the bombings. Then you had assassinations and executions, too. That's not talked about as much, but that is certainly happening. And the on the ground, even NATO is saying that the new restraint, they believe that it ultimately it is going to help, because the support is totally necessary to break the back of insurgency. And across the board, whether it's NATO or McChrystal or whoever, that honestly they feel that that's the only way they can reach through to this illiterate population. They have to be careful of any of that so-called collateral damage. And, of course, President Karzai is very critical of air power in some of those populated areas. And I guess if you look at it from that perspective, that's a way to avoid some of those ugly numbers and carnage that could happen as a result. But my fear is for what's happening with the guys who are out there trying to fight the good fight, serving over and over and over again with the crazy conditions that they're under. And then they come back and you hear some of these sad tales, the suicide rates for people coming back from Afghanistan, again, pretty much off the charts, even though a lot of the stigmatism of getting help has been lifted with the military. It's still incredibly stressful. And it's certainly all of you know this, and many of you have served. You know the stresses and concern over your units and then what happens in the ambushes and et cetera. So let's hope that some of that is cut down. And I have to say, it was in looking at another one of these Taliban suicide bombings, I saw an AP photo somewhere, and you just saw this young boy. He looked like he could be, I mean, he looked like an American kid, and he's laying there in the street and half blown apart, and you think, man, for all, how much we scream and rattle the cages and jump on our soapboxes about the U.S., can you imagine raising children and dealing with that day in and day out and having no idea what you're going to encounter next? Speaking of that, giving morphine to wounded troops, they're saying now, this is, I guess, pretty good news. Cuts in half the chance that they're going to develop post-traumatic stress disorder. There is this new study, which is obviously controversial, that's suggesting that one of the strategies for preventing what I was calling that psychological fallout is exactly that. Researchers at the U.S. Naval Health Research Center did a study of about 700 troops injured in Iraq from 2004 to 2006, and they said it was surprising how strong the effect of the morphine was. And they actually published the findings in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it's just a question of whether or not the Pentagon is going to adopt the practice on the battlefield of doing that as quickly as possible. Because if you want to talk about numbers, about 53,000 troops that come back from Iraq and now really more Afghanistan have been treated for PTSD. And that, we all know, is when somebody has the traumatic event that they keep re-experiencing it, of course, and all that awful fear that it causes, and then trying to get back into society, work, relationships, whatever. It's incredibly tough. So they've been trying to figure out ways to treat it, and they looked at whether fast pain relief would help prevent it, if the morphine made the big difference. And what they're theorizing anyway in the research, it kind of makes sense, is that if you ease the pain, it might reduce that psychological trauma, because you'd get that immediate relief, and the brain, of course, remembers an injury. You think about any time you've been in pain, and you file that away, and then it becomes a little bit less traumatic, because the wounds that they were mostly dealing with, and they're still dealing with in Afghanistan, were caused by roadside bombs and bullets and grenades and mortar fire and burns and falls, and based on whatever happened to them, those that were given the morphine within an hour of their injury, which was about 70%, they looked 2 years later, and 147 of them had developed PTSD, but of the 203 not given morphine early on, 96 developed it. So if you add up those numbers, it worked out to a 53% lower risk of getting it for the people who were treated early with morphine. Interesting. I mean, I think if they do more research into that, that makes sense. The faster that you can ease the pain, that's what they want to do anyway, that much better, if it's not going to cause any psychological, it's going to help in the psychological sense. Certainly makes sense to me. Coming up on the flip side, birthdays, news you can't abuse, and this day in history.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because he created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals, and kids love its great cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068, and feel the minty freshness.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Headed for the finish line of this hour here on America Tonight. Coming up, who's celebrating a birthday? Carl Weathers. You remember Carl Weathers, right? From Semi Tough. Did you see that? The Rocky series, probably most known for. Also in Happy Gilmore, born back in 1948. For all you Vikings fans that are listening, a football wide receiver, Gene Washington, birth date 1947. And how about LL Cool J? LL Cool J is on a new series, NCIS Los Angeles. He seems to be popping up all over the place, and he was born in 1968. We have some others. Didn't you love this new approach? You have to figure out how old they are. I just tell you when they were born. At least you recognize the names perhaps a little bit more. I'm trying. I'm digging them up. Also this day in history, January 14th, 2010. My, oh, my, we're already 14 days into the new year. Hope it's been good for you so far. I'll tell you about some of the days way back when, including in 1882, a country club named The Country Club became the first country club in the U.S., You know where it was? Brookline, Massachusetts. That's where they stay. You know, they started playing golf in mid-January. Didn't work out so well. So the hunters went out to pick off the wildlife right off the fairways. Hey, that country club thing, that's working out pretty good for you, huh? Let's start with news you can abuse. And topping news you can abuse is this gem of a story. And it's all about, in the beginning of the year especially, everybody pushes for the whole weight loss thing. And even on our show, we had those interesting folks that are in this thing called Slim World, where they lost ridiculous, like between them almost 500 pounds, the British folks. One was the soap opera star. I thought they were kind of interesting listening to what it was like to lose that weight. In Philadelphia, there's a guy that started a new website called Lose It or Lose It. The guy who started it is Randy Schmidt, and he's talking about motivation to drop the pounds. And what you do is you have an account. You fork over between $5 and $100 for every pound you don't lose as part of your weight goal. Why he started is because at one point he tipped the scales at 282 when he debuted his website. He's down to 263, debuted the website, I guess, in November, and he keeps doing it. It keeps re-upping for a 10-week weight loss run. I don't know. The theory's pretty good, but the problem is, how's anybody going to keep you in line? And plus, what if you just fall off the wagon? You're not going to be putting $100 in there, and who gets the money? So concept is kind of good, but I don't think in actual practice it would work out for a lot of people. How about Papa John's? Speaking of the other direction, let's eat some pizza. He wants to be the big daddy of the Super Bowl pizza. There's always that big war. It's the soda war or pop war, as some of you would call it, or the pizza war, especially for the big granddaddy one, the Super Bowl. The company's buying the rights as the big cheese for the big game. Officials of the company won't say how much dough it's going to cost them to be the official pizza sponsor for the Super Bowl next month. But they will say it's the largest marketing sponsorship in their company's history. As part of the deal, Papa John's gets to pitch its pies during the game broadcast. They expect to sell more than 750,000 pizzas on Super Bowl Sunday. Wow. I mean, I guess that's you got a lot of eyes on the game, and people also watch for commercials. So if they have some clever commercials mixed in there, could actually pay off for them. But there's so many. Yeah, you know, there's Little Caesars, there's Domino's, there's Pizza Hut, your own local pizza places. And, no offense to Papa John's, but going chain, that's when you're desperate. That's what I call it, going chain. Got to go with those local folks, I think, to me, so much better. You know, usually when you see a stray animal walking down the street, it's a cat or a dog or whatever, but what if you saw a wandering hippo? Of course, it's different when you live in the village of Montenegro, but that's what happened when they woke up to see a hippo strolling by their homes. The two-ton animal escaped when a zoo was flooded, and one villager says he thought he was going crazy, like he was seeing things. The zoo owner says he'll wait till floodwaters recede before he tries to recapture the hippo. There's no reason to panic, though, he warned all the people. Even though it's a small area, that hippos are lovers. They're not fighters. They are peaceful animals. I don't know. So a floating hippo coming toward me, I might be a little bit concerned. How about you, Donovan? Would you be worried about a floating hippo coming toward you?
Hippos are dangerous.
That's what I think. They're huge. They would crush you with their teeth.
There are a number of people each year who get killed by hippos.
Yeah, so they're, you know, easy to say, peaceful. They're lovers. Lovers of what? Flesh? I guess. All right, let's mix in some of the days in history. In 1914, Henry Ford announced the newest advance in assembly line production of cars. The continuous motion method reduced assembly time of a car from, check this out, 12 and a half hours to 93 minutes. That's wild. And that was in 1914. If you're a fan of horse racing like I am, in 1932, horse racing legend, and I mean legend, Eddie Arcaro won his first race. He was riding Eagle Bird for the win. The result was official, and that was it. And from there, history was made. He went on to an incredible career. In 1936, Harriet Hillier, the vocalist and wife of bandleader Ozzie Nelson, sang Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. Nice. On Brunswick Records. I don't know that song. It's way, way, way before my time. But now I'm curious as to what it sounds like. Okay, how about this one? In 1951, we're talking about the Super Bowl and all that, with Papa John's being the official pizza of the Super Bowl. The first National Football League Pro Bowl All-Star game was played, where was it played? In L.A. They don't even have a football team now. The American Conference defeated the National Conference 28-27. In 1954, Marilyn Monroe married baseball great Joe DiMaggio. The marriage lasted just 9 months. After her death in 62, DiMaggio had red roses delivered to her crypt 2 to 3 times a week for some 20 years. I mean, that's pretty cool. All right, let's head to some more of those birthdays. Can I have some music, please? Yeah, they say it's your birthday. Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes fame. When was Andy born? 1919. Yeah. Everybody knows him as the TV commentator for that Tick, 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 Tick show. But he did other things before that. He was a feature writer for something called Peace of My Mind. He also wrote the CBS News Hour for a time. How about that? Ever hear of a guy named Mark Goodson, Goodson Productions, 1915? He was born. He's a famous game show producer. Think of What's My Line, I've Got a Secret, Family Feud, which is still in syndication. The Price is Right, that was a big show back in its day. Here's some more for you that you might recognize. See if this rings a bell with anybody out there. Jason Bateman. Oh, this is, he's like one of my favorite actor right now. He's been in a ton of things that I've seen, especially lately. But he started off, he did a little House on the Prairie gig. He did Breaking the Rules, Necessary Roughness, A Taste for Killing. And he's made a huge comeback lately. Been in a ton of things. 1979, Jordan Ladd, actress who's been in Weapons of Mass Destruction, Boys Life 3 and Cabin Fever. She's the daughter of Cheryl Ladd and David Ladd, and the granddaughter of Alan Ladd. Runs in the family, eh? In 1967, Emily Watson was born. You know Emily Watson. Breaking the Waves, Hillary and Jackie, Gosford Park. Ringing any bells? I think this list was a better list than some of the lists that we've had in the past. So thanks to many of you for listening to the show, and you, Donovan Mattson, for your fine work on the technicals. Just remember, the road less traveled is much more interesting.
But and I said, I don't care if they lay me off either, because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit.